Creating Change with Doug Foresta, a show dedicated to creativity and emotional healing. Creating Change on Empower Radio.
EmpowerRadio.com.
Here's your host, Doug Foresta.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of Creating Change. This is Doug Foresta, and today I could not be more pleased to have with me my good friend Kim Addis, and we're going to be talking about journaling and the power of journaling for personal growth. You know, journaling is something that actually, I'm not even sure if Kim knows this, but it's really actually where I started off when I came online before podcasting, but I was not nearly as proficient at it as Kim is. And so, and my path was elsewhere. But personally, journaling is something that I do every day and really believe in. And I know that a lot of you are probably using journaling, but how you're using it, I think, I definitely think that you'll get a lot out of this episode in terms of how you can use journaling for personal growth. I'll say a little bit about Kim and bring her right on. Kim Addis is the president and founder of Frame of Mind Coaching and Journal Engine Software. She's author, speaker, entrepreneur, coach, mother of five, and she is recognized as one of North America's foremost experts on performance through thought mastery. By using her unique process of integrating journaling in her coaching, she helps her highly driven clients to examine and shift their thinking in order to yield extraordinary results. You can learn more about her and also take a Frame of Mind. You can actually do an assessment, a free assessment there at frameofmindcoaching.com. That's frameofmindcoaching.com. Kim Addis, welcome to Creating Change.
I am so happy to be here and to talk to you again. You're one of my favorite people in the whole entire podcasting world, so I'm delighted.
Oh, thank you. Thank you so much. That's so sweet. Thank you. I really appreciate it and feel the same way. So let's talk about, first and foremost, I think maybe where we would be great to start is actually just to say a little bit more. I mean, I gave that little blurb about you, but in your own words, could you describe, you know, who you are and what you do?
Sure. So I run a coaching company called Frame of Mind Coaching. I work with a team of coaches, and we coach a very, very unique or a very specific type of person. We coach people who have typically four things in common. Number one is that they are highly driven and have big goals that they want to reach. Number two is that they're typically really good people and want to make a huge difference in the world and want to leave their mark. Number three is that they are spirited people and want to live lives that are filled with adventure, great relationships, travel, luxury, experience. You know, they're spirited people. And the fourth is that they typically get stuck. They get into their own ways. They're frustrated. They want to achieve more. They're not happy with where they are. And so that's typically our client. And the way that we coach them is that we include a journaling process. So every single day for the duration of the coaching period, they're journaling in an online journal with their coach. And so they get a journaling question and they respond to the question and the coach gets to read the journal of the client and then they engage in dialogue every single day. And so when the coach gets to read the journal, the coach starts to ask questions to dig deeper, to get to the heart of the matter, to understand a person's beliefs, their perspectives, their values, their inherent patterns that they get trapped in. So that's what we do as coaches. And what we're looking at is we're looking at how a person thinks and how their thinking impacts their results.
Can you give an example for our audience of how, so I can picture someone saying, well, no, but you know, it's not my thinking. I just have terrible relationships. And I always do. Can you give an example of how shifting your thinking would help to shift the results in your life?
Well, it's interesting. Take relationships as a really good example. A lot of people believe that in relationships, it takes two to tango. Ever heard that one?
Yes, I've heard that a lot.
Yeah. So it's flawed. It's not really accurate. The truth of the matter is that if I'm in a dance with someone and suddenly I shift my steps or I change my steps, the dance changes too. And so it doesn't take two people to create a new dance. It only takes one. And so in relationships, you know, the dynamic that exists is largely in your control. And we don't see it that way. We see ourselves at the mercy of or at the affect of the other person. And that's not quite the truth. And so the question becomes, how do I show up? How do I think about this other person? How do I perceive or process the dynamic that's happening here that causes me to behave the way I do, exacerbating this tension or this problem? And so what we want to do when we look at relationships is, you know, you said, well, it's just a relationship. The relationship is always flawed. The way you think right. will create all of your experiences. So thought precedes outcome. Thought precedes action. Thought precedes conversation. Thought precedes communication. Thought precedes all. And when you look at the outcomes and you're not happy with them, normally what happens in coaching, not in my coaching world, but in other coaching worlds, is that we say, well, if you always do what you always did, you'll always get what you always got. So let's do something different. But what yeah. they're missing is the fact that thought precedes action. And so it's not enough for us to change what we do. We need to look at what we're thinking and make shifts there in order for our behaviors to sustainably change.
Now, say more about how, I know you talked about journaling, and I think it's such a cool thing to be able to journal with someone who can then give you this feedback. But say more about how journaling fits in to that shift, to that thought shift.
So when we can see how a person thinks over a variety of experiences and situations and relationships and inputs, then we can start to pick up patterns and we can start to notice where people get trapped and where their beliefs, or let's call it their limiting beliefs, causes a siphoning off of achievement or performance or basic happiness. And so the journaling allows us to pick up that pattern over time, right? So should I only journal during the weekdays? Absolutely. Absolutely not. I mean, weekends are really rich too, right? So you take your thinking everywhere you go. You don't stop thinking at certain times of the day. You're always thinking. And so what we want to do is capture right. as much data as we possibly can.
I wonder, I'd really love to get your feedback about this. I've been thinking about this a lot lately, actually, which is about the ways in which journaling can help or that journaling might actually, that journaling, like one of the things I'm thinking about is how, if I don't know how to do this and I just journal without getting any feedback, is there a way in which, I guess, have you seen a way in which journaling could also reinforce negative thinking?
If the purpose of your, you know, like I'm a big believer in the fact that journaling is a way for you to express yourself and unload a lot of the pent up stuff that's going on inside of you. However, if sure. in your journaling, you're constantly focusing on all the things that are horrible, awful, and terrible in your life, then your journal acts as a gateway or a focus mechanism that doesn't necessarily serve you or help you. Right? It just reinforces the negativity. But if you use your journal in a strategic way, so let's pretend for a minute you're not working with a coach and you're just on your own and you're journaling. My advice to people is use the journal to unload, you know, say what you need to say. And when you think you're done, keep going, like just keep unloading. But then at a certain point, you gotta have to say, okay, I'm done with that. Where do I want to go? And so you literally want to say, okay, I'm ready to turn myself around. What do I want now? Where am I going? What do I want to build? What would I rather have? And if you can constantly use your journal to turn yourself towards what you want in your life, how you want things to be, how you want to show up, how you want to feel, and when you focus on that, your journal becomes a miraculous tool for making things happen. One of the benefits of working with a coach, a trained coach who can look at your journal, is to quickly pick up where you keep getting trapped, where you keep falling, where you keep getting into the right. same relationships, the same conversations, the same challenges over and over and over again, and helping you see that the thinking that you have is what's causing that problem. And to help you even slightly shift your thinking when that happens, really what you're opening up is a massive gateway for greater possibility and opportunity to come your way.
So, you know, Kim, when you say that, it makes me think about the blind spots. And I think, you know, I wonder what you think about this, but to me, that's so much a part of the benefit of a coach is like, maybe I can see certain things, but I'm not, but it's hard. Like, how do I see what I'm missing? Right. That if I could see it, I wouldn't be missing it.
Well, that's exactly it. And even those people who have spent their entire lives in personal development and, you know, doing this type of work still need to access an insight that they don't necessarily have. And that's why, you know, the best coaches have the best coaches. And that's, you know, that's exactly it. We can't see what we can't see. And sometimes all it takes is someone outside of ourselves to pick it up for us. And, you know, those people who achieve the most significant goals in life are surrounded by assistance of some kind, right? Like,
yes,
you know, great business people have a team around them, lawyers, accountants, consultants, etc. And coaches are in the same category. And coaches just have an insight that, you know, we don't always have. I certainly have had a team of coaches throughout my whole life and continue to have them.
Yeah, I'm the same way now. I mean, I literally get coached. I mean, maybe not Saturday and Sunday, but every other day, I have different kinds of coaches and different support, but pretty much every day I'm touching base and getting feedback from someone because I realize that I miss a lot of things. You know, it really makes sense to me. And then someone goes, "Do you see what you're doing?" And then all of a sudden I go, "Oh my gosh, no way. I missed that." that would be really important.
And to me, I'll be a little biased here, but I think really great coaches have access to data that other people don't have. And for me, when I coach people, part of that data stream, and I'm Canadian, so I don't know if it's data or data, but anyway, I have access to data through the journal that other people don't necessarily have access to.
That's right. I like that a lot. And what about, you know, one of the questions I hear from people a lot is there like a right and a wrong way? You had alluded before about, you know, how often should I journal? I guess that would be the first question to ask you. Like, is there a right amount of time to journal or a right time of day to journal?
I believe a person should journal every day and try to stay at the same time of the day. You know, I've seen people journal first thing in the morning to set their day. I've also seen people journal at the end of the day to kind of like unload and just go to bed in a peaceful way. Those are both good options. And then the next question is, how long should you journal? You should journal until you feel at peace, that you're at a place where you go, okay, like I can continue now. I have nothing else to say for the moment, and I'm at peace with where I am. I know where I'm going. I know where I'm heading. I know what, you know, where I'm focused on. And when you're there, then close your book or close your computer. But the thing is, that could take 10 minutes. That could take 25 minutes. There's no length of time. It's a feeling that you get when you say, okay, I'm complete for the moment.
Is there a minimum amount of time? I know people are so, you know, people feel so rushed. And, you know, one of the things I know people ask me all the time about, it's all different kinds of things. It's like meditation, you know, like what's the minimum amount of time that I can meditate and still get benefit? I don't know if that's a great question to ask, but I'm curious about your thoughts about it.
You know what? Like, honestly, I do a lot of presentations. I travel and I present. And sometimes right before a presentation, I'll journal for just 5 minutes. And my journal is really almost a little piece of gratitude that says, thank you for making this work out really well for me. Right? Thank you that I'm able to deliver the message and deliver the love and deliver warmth and compassion to this particular audience. Thank you that I've been given the opportunity to share what I know. And that's it. And so that could take 3 minutes, right? But what it does is it sets my mind towards my intention for that particular activity. And so if it takes 3 minutes, it takes 3 minutes. So there is no specific amount of time. You've heard people do tapping, right? How long does that take?
Yeah.
3 minutes. The thing is that when we were born, right, when we were young, we were taught to read and write. Writing is in our body. It's in our DNA. It's in our breeding. It's in our upbringing. Tapping isn't so much. Neither is meditation for that matter.
Right.
Right. So leverage what you know. Leverage what's already there. Leverage your skill set.
You know, it's a very good point. There is I think, at least this has been my experience, and certainly the experience of clients I've worked with as a therapist, is that we do have this innate drive to express ourselves through language, right? In a way that, like you said, nobody really wakes up and says, you got to learn tapping. Nobody's like, I got to start tapping, right? I have an innate need to start tapping.
Right. That's exactly it. We don't. And language is huge. And so it's either verbal or written language. What I like about written language, in addition to verbal language, is that my ability to write does not match the speed at which I think, right?
Yeah.
Two different speeds. So I'm slower at writing, whether it's physically, you know, pen to paper or on a computer, I'm still slower. And what happens is when I am in the state of writing, I'm actually slowing my brain down and creating for myself a state of meditation, which is, as we know, very, very therapeutic. The thing about meditation is once we meditate, it's gone. Like we have nothing to refer to, nothing to look back on, nothing to reflect on, nothing to see or pick up patterns with. With writing, what we have is a tracking tool. And that's really important for growth.
Yeah, it reminds me so much. When I was working, I was the head of therapist for an online therapy company, and we did text therapy. And it was very much kind of like journaling, really, because it would save all of it. And it was the first time that I'd ever had that experience of being able to go back and see what people wrote, as opposed to remembering a conversation. And I love what you said about the data, either one, that it, what's really cool is that I love what you said about the meditation, and we can go back, right? Like when we just have a lot of thoughts, they just come and go and we remember some of it, but this is something where you can go back a year later.
Yeah. Well, and that's one of the things we do with our clients is like after a 10-week period, we ask our clients, go back and read your first journal. Look at the distance you've traveled. Look at where you've come from. Look at where you are now. Look at how your thinking has shifted. Look at how your whole entire persona, disposition, your view of the world has shifted. And it happens very, very fast. But one of the beautiful parts about it is the ability to go back and see where you started. Because when you have that physical, tangible evidence of the journey you've taken, that journey becomes cemented. It doesn't just evaporate or disappear. So a lot of people ask us, you know, is this coaching sustainable? Like, you know, yeah, you get coached, but then does it just go away? And the answer is absolutely not. It stays. It gets set in your DNA, if you wish, and stays over a period of years.
Well, that actually leads to another question that I'm curious about, which is about, so let's say, for example, actually in a minute was going to ask you for some of your own examples, but let's say, for example, I've been struggling with relationships and I always pick the wrong relationships or I have, you know, whatever, I have negative stories about relationships. In your experience, I mean, how long does it take to switch one's thinking, like in this coaching process? I mean, I always love the joke about, you know, how many therapists does it take to screw in a light bulb? And the answer is only one, but it takes a really long time and the bulb has to want to change.
Yeah.
So yeah, in your experience, like I'm not asking for like 2.5 months, but kind of an idea of, in your experience, how long the change process takes.
It depends from person to person, but it can happen in an hour. It can happen in one session. It can happen, like we see people who their lives start to shift within the first week. Some people are a little more resistant. Some people takes a little bit longer, like there's a drag, right? Some people get it after a period of time. Like I remember, I'm still coaching this one gentleman, but he's a lawyer, he's in Toronto, and after 6 weeks, he says, I finally understand what we're doing here, right? And it was really interesting because what he wanted me to do is help him create a business plan. I'm like, you know what? You don't need me. You're a lawyer. You don't need me to create a business plan for you. Go read a business plan book and create a business plan. That's not what we're here to do. We're here to really understand the connection between your thoughts and your outcomes. And so for him, it was about leadership. It was about relationships. It was about his parenting. It was about building new business. It was about how he communicates and expresses himself. It was about his energy and how he comes across. It was about the things that trigger him and piss him off in the world. That's what it was about.
Do you find that behind every problem. In other words, that behind every problem that people struggle with, that there is, I know you've said this before, that like the thought precedes action. I know people say things like fake it till you make it, right? And things I've heard people say, you know, say things like that.
Yep.
Can you say a bit more in your experience about what, you know, what I know that you kind of take a different view, which is coming at it from the thought first. Is it possible to fake it till you make it?
What I believe is that if you're faking it for too long, you create pain for yourself. And particularly when you're faking it, doesn't lead to the outcomes you want and leaves you in a state of discomfort over a great length of time. And so, you know, let's say I have a pain in my leg and I you know what, I'm going to fake it. I'm going to limp, right? What happens
right.
is the pain exacerbates. And that's exactly the same thing. And so I don't really want people to fake it. I want people to stretch a little bit. I want people to try things on for size. But I want them to create just a little bit of discomfort, not massive discomfort over time. A little discomfort is okay. You know, okay, fine. Like, you know, if I'm used to running a mile, maybe I'll run a mile and a little bit longer and see if I can stretch myself a little bit more and see how that feels. Right. But I don't want them to run 10 miles because that's too far of a stretch and that will create pain. So I don't want people to grow from a painful place. You know, the whole idea of no pain, no gain. I'm not a fan of that idea because when we experience too much pain, that's unsustainable. People don't stay on that, the track of pain. They can't.
It's like dieting, right? People are like, exactly. I can't wait till I'm off this diet so I can eat like three pints of Rocky Road ice cream.
Exactly. Exactly. And so for me, what I want to do is help people understand how their thinking is creating the pain, help people shift their thinking just a little bit, and then have them take action from a new vantage point. And that's really important because then taking action isn't so hard.
Like
so it's kind of like going back to the leg. Well, you know, rather than just putting a Band-Aid on it or, you know, one of those, an ice pack just to solve it for now, what we want to do is really look at the spine and understand how we can make adjustments to the spine and straighten things up so that the pain doesn't even exist.
Kim, what are some of the types of problems? I mean, I know we talked about relationships, but what are some of the other kinds of problems that someone would be having in their life that journaling could help them with and coaching could help them with?
My God, we have everything. We have entrepreneurs who have partners where they have conflict. We have entrepreneurs who have employees that they can't get the best out of them or they don't know how to maximize their productivity. We have people who have financial issues and don't know how to get around them. We have people in marital conflict and, you know, don't know whether or not they want to get married, stay married, leave the marriage, those types of things. We have parents who fight every day with their children. We have people who just simply feel, you know, like something's not quite right. They don't feel like they're engaged. They don't feel like they're living up to their potential. We have people who get frustrated and lose their temper over the slightest thing. And so, you know, what we're looking at again is the relationship between the way a person thinks and the way that they feel. And you see how they feel in a series of encounters, conversations, experiences, stories. And what we're looking at is, you know, what is the trigger for that? What's the pattern? What's the belief system that's steadily in place that's causing you to feel this way?
Isn't it interesting? I think one of the big takeaways about this episode is you look at all those problems and you go, wow, these people have a lot of different problems. But really, they have one problem, right? Which is their thinking.
Every problem is a thinking problem. And then if we take it to the next place, every thinking problem typically turns into a people problem.
Say more about that. What do you mean by that?
I mean, the way we think creates an outlook, and that outlook affects the way we communicate. It affects the way we interact. It affects the way we experience the world. It affects the way we appreciate or feel a sense of criticism or disappointment for what's happening. And so every thinking problem leads to a people issue.
Very interesting. I had not thought of it that way before. As you said that, I'm thinking about a guy I used to work with many years ago, and his thing was the world is an angry place. And so he'd go outside and he'd walk around with his fists balled, you know, with his hands balled into fists. And of course, when you do that, people start to, you know, think of you as someone who's kind of threatening. And he goes, see, look at that. Everybody just walks away from me and they're not friendly.
So, right.
Yeah. Yeah. That's
right.
That's
he was really creating his experience. Now it's interesting, right? Like we have, you know, we have a lot of external interaction. So, you know, I don't go around getting pissed off that it's raining. I might not love the rain, but I don't live in a constant state of friction with the rain. Right. But I do, and many people do, live in a constant state of friction with others.
Yeah.
Even though they can't really change others.
Kim, the time always goes so fast in our conversations. I want to make sure, because we only have like 2 minutes remaining, that people know you have such a great resource on your website. Can you tell people a little bit about the assessment and what they'll find if they go there and where to go?
Yeah, absolutely. One of the most powerful things, if anybody is looking to change or to do some serious personal development work, is to understand where they are right now. So it's very important to take a snapshot. What's going on right now? And I want to express that in terms of numerical value, but also in terms of anecdotal story or evidence. And so the assessment allows you to take a snapshot of where I am right now and has you interfacing with one of our coaches to go through that assessment with you to identify some of the patterns that already exist for you. So a lot of people who have taken the assessment and have had a conversation with a coach have had extreme impact from just that one conversation. So I encourage anybody who's listening to go to frameofmindcoaching.com and try that assessment. It's basically assess your frame of mind.
Kim Addis, thank you so much for joining me. And you really, like I said, I mean, I love what you do. I believe in what you do. And it's so different and unique from what other people are doing, such a different way of thinking about the change process. Plus, you're just an awesome person. So thank you for coming on today.
Thank you so much for having me on. And I just love spending time with you. So I appreciate it.
Thank you. Thanks so much. So all of you out there, what are you waiting for? Go to frameofmindcoaching.com. You know, if you're a fan of this show, that journaling is definitely a passion of mine. But again, you know, it helps to get that support. And what a cool opportunity it is to have feedback with a professional about what you might be missing, what your blind spots are, and what's holding you back. And as always, till next time, keep creating. The world needs your gifts. This is Doug Foresta at Creating Change.